Well, we said right at the beginning of our series at the book of James that this was one of the most practical books in all of the Bible. That right at the beginning of our new year, as we're thinking about how to live this year for Christ, how to follow him and walk with him more closely in all that we do, that James would be a great guide to help us to do that. Well, in today's passage, the rubber hits the road. In today's passage, James makes it really clear what it looks like to follow Jesus. Today's passage gets at the very heart of the Christian faith, of what it means to actually be a Christian. We've seen James dispel popular myths already. The first myth we saw was that suffering is only a bad thing, and James has shown us how God uses trials and temptations to help us to grow and mature as Christians, that we should count them as joy because of the difference that they make in our lives. Last week, Bobby looked at the myth that in the church, some people are more important than others, that our status matters. And James made clear that favoritism has no place in the life of a Christian. Today's myth is this: faith is only what you believe. Now, on some level, well, we probably know that this is true, don't we? But we maybe live as if it's true. We think, well, I know I'm a Christian. I've been saved. I've been made right with God. I became a Christian by faith. So all that really matters is that I believe the right things. But faith doesn't have to have a big impact on how I live my life, does it? I can go to church, I can like what I hear, I can be encouraged for an hour or so, and then just get on with life as normal the rest of my week. Or maybe we think, do you know, my faith is actually really important to me. It encourages me throughout the week, but it's very much a private thing. It's something that I keep to myself. It's something that's really just for me. Now, normally we have multiple points in a sermon, but in today's passage, James just makes the one point over and over and over again. If you can grab your Bibles and have them open at James chapter 2, you'll find that useful, and you'll see him repeat this over and over and over again. The message that we have to get today is that faith without works is dead. Faith must be more than just what you believe. It must have an impact on what you do. Faith without works is dead. So let's look down and look at the different ways that James explains this to us. Look down, first of all, at verses 14 through to 17. And James begins this section by asking a key question. Having talked about the importance of showing no favoritism, which we saw last week, of treating everybody the same, he then asks this question in verse 14. Do you see it there? What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? And this is the key question that we're thinking about this morning. We're thinking of someone who says that they have faith, they claim that they believe in Jesus, that they trust him, they want to follow him, but that faith isn't accompanied by deeds. Someone who says he's a Christian but he doesn't live at all in a Christian way. And James is asking, what good is it? By deeds, he's talking about actions done in obedience to God, doing the things that God calls us to do, living the way God calls us to live. And he's asking this rhetorical question in verse 14, expecting the answer to be obvious. What good is it? Well, surely it's no good at all. Gives an illustration following on from what he was saying about favoritism. Look down at verses 15 and 16. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? And it's really straightforward illustration, isn't it? We get his point. It's dead easy to say the right thing, but if it isn't backed up by actions, well, it's hard to believe. Think of American politicians. What happens every time there's a mass shooting in America? Every politician rushes to get in front of a camera or rushes to tweet, and they all say the same thing. My thoughts and prayers are with all affected by this senseless tragedy. But yet, how often do these same politicians, quick to say the right thing, follow it up with any sort of action? Well, very rarely. And so we understand then why people stop believing their words. This is what James is saying. He says, if you see someone struggling and all you can do is wish them well, what good is that? It's no good at all. If someone's cold, what do you need to do? You need to give them a coat. If someone's hungry, you need to give them something to eat. Words alone make no difference. Look down at verse 17. James is really, really clear. What does he say? In the same way, just like this, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith without action is no faith at all. Our faith should change the way we act. James is saying, if you have faith, will you prove it by what you do? It's our behavior, it's the things that we do that shows what we really think. If you can keep your finger in James 2 and flick back to Mark chapter 2, we'll have a quick look here. It's a really famous account from the Gospels. Jesus is speaking at a house and it's absolutely bunged. There's standing room only. And what happens? Well, Mark chapter 2, verse 4, there's this group of lads. They're carrying their paralyzed friend to come see Jesus. They can't get in because it's so busy. And so they go to the roof. They make a hole. They lower him down so that he can meet Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? Well, if you have it open, look down at verse 5, because it's so related to what we're seeing here in James 2. Look at verse 5 and Jesus' words. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "Son, your sins are forgiven." How did Jesus know that these guys were trusting him, had faith in him? It wasn't just by what they said, but because he could see their faith in action. He saw their faith. Faith without works is dead, because faith changes how we act. Do you think the people around you in your life can see your faith? Does your faith change the way you act? Does it change the things that you're going to do tomorrow? Does it impact how you care for those around you? How you be a good neighbor? How you work? How you study? Whatever you do, faith without works is dead. Faith changes how we act. Flick back to James 2, and we'll look now at verses 18 to 20. James realizes that some people may be a little bit uncomfortable with what he's saying, and so he anticipates the objection. Look down at verse 18. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Now, we know that the church is made up of a diverse group of people with different gifts and different skill sets. So it does not follow that, well, some people are going to be good at faith and some people are going to be good at deeds. And why can't some have faith and some have deeds? And do we all have to have both? This is the objection that James sees coming. And maybe he knows of people in the church he's writing to who think this way. But James wants to make clear that faith without works is a total contradiction. That true faith just does not, cannot exist unless it's accompanied by deeds. Unless it's lived out. Look at how he replies in the second half of verse 18. He says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." He's saying, how could you even show me faith without showing me what you do as a result? It makes no sense. You know that I have faith by the things that I do. You prove your faith by how you act. Faith without works is dead. It makes this even clearer in verse 19. You believe that there is one God, good. But even the demons believe that and shudder. This hypothetical person that James is arguing with is saying, look, forget what I do. It's what I believe that counts. And I believe the same thing as you. I believe that there's only one God. Now remember that James is writing to a group of Jewish Christians. And Jewish Christians would have been raised to memorize and to recite the Shema. Every morning and every evening, Jewish people would have recited together, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." It's this verse that James is referring to. So this hypothetical person, he's saying, look, I know the same basics of the faith as much as you do. I recite them every morning and every evening like you do. What's the problem? James is saying, do you know what? Having the right knowledge about God, but that's not what it's really all about. Even the demons have got it right. They know that there's only one God. But they certainly don't have faith in him. In fact, their knowledge about God makes them shudder. It's easy to say the right thing. It's easy to say there is only one God. But how do we know you trust him? Well, by what you do. And that's the whole point of this verse anyway. It's the whole point of the Shema anyway, because it doesn't stop at proclaiming that God is one, but it calls the hearer to action. Listen to this. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has just been asked what the most important commandment is. And he replies, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But he doesn't stop there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Belief comes first, but it's followed by action. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. The right knowledge isn't enough. When we go down for tea and coffee after the service, like some weeks I'm just a terribly boring person to come and talk to. If you want to come and talk to me about how the Glens and Liverpool are still both top of the league, that's great. I'm your man, we'll enjoy that. If you want to come and talk to me about what you've done in the past week, that's great. I'm your man. We'll talk about that. But sometimes the question comes, so what have you been up to this week? And I'm scundered because I'm in the final term of college. I'm working on my dissertation, so most of my week is sitting at a desk, reading and reading, and a bit of writing, and a bit more reading. And even I get bored talking about that, so I can't imagine how you would want to listen to it. It doesn't make for great small talk over a cup of coffee. I've loved going back to college. It's been great getting a chance to study the things of God in more detail. But we can see that there's a danger. There's a danger that we can get so focused on thinking and wrestling with getting the right theology and the right knowledge, and that we can then forget to put it into action. And I'm trying not to do that, but you can see the danger that if we spend all of our time thinking and not doing, we can miss the point. Faith is not just a theoretical exercise. It's something that we have to live. Look at verse 20. He makes this point clearly. What does he say to a man? He thinks like this. He says, you foolish man. Faith without deeds is useless. Faith without works is dead. Faith changes the way we act, but faith also changes the way we think, because as we think about God and who he is and all that he has done for us, we then respond with how we live our lives. James promises evidence of this in verse 20. So let's look at the evidence he gives in verses 21 to 26. He begins with the example of Abraham. Don't forget, again, this is a church of Jewish Christians. So if you want to make a point to them, if you want to get them on your side, the best thing you can do is make reference to Abraham. He's the father of all faith. There's a whole lot we could say about this section. And if you go to home groups, maybe you'll get a chance to talk about these verses in a bit more detail. But I think actually the main point is really straightforward. Look at verses 21 and 22, first of all. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Now, it's easy to get confused here and to misunderstand what James is saying. He isn't saying that the reason that Abraham was righteous, the reason he belonged to God, was because of the things he did. How do we know he's not saying that? Well, because we know that Abraham was chosen and declared righteous and belonged to God decades before the event that he's talking about here. Abraham already belonged to God when he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. So what he's doing when he does that is he's showing his faith in action. Look at verse 23. What does it say? The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. And this is a direct quote from Genesis chapter 15. Again, this took place years before Isaac was even born. Abraham was declared righteous, he was saved, he belonged to God, long before the story that we're given here. Abraham was saved by faith just as we are. But we can consider his faith real. Why? Because we see it in action. Why? Because faith without works is dead. Faith changes how we trust God. And Abraham showed and demonstrated his trust in God completely. Look at the beginning of verse 24. This is crucial in not misunderstanding James. How does he begin this sentence? Look down. You see. So he's not talking about how someone is saved. He's talking about how we see faith in someone's life. Look at the whole verse. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. And then, and this is just great, to hammer home that point about favoritism that he was making earlier, he says, and you know what, this isn't just true for Abraham, the great patriarch of our faith. It's true for all who believe. Look at verse 25. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies? So we say, look, whether you're the father of a great Jewish nation or you're a foreign Gentile prostitute, it makes no difference. You're saved by faith, and we know that by seeing that faith in action. Look at verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And there's a film that's been out recently. It wasn't shown in very many cinemas, so you probably didn't see it, called A Hidden Life. And it tells the true story of an Austrian farmer during World War II. He was a man of very deep faith. And this war began, and he saw what Hitler and the Nazis stood for. He saw how evil they were, and he wanted no part of this. But he knew he was going to get called up. And for him, the biggest issue was that to serve in any way, even if he didn't fight, even if he was just an orderly in the medical tent, he would have to swear allegiance to Hitler. And he couldn't bring himself to do it because he knew that it was wrong. And throughout the film, we see loads of people, including the clergy around him, try to reason with him. They say, look, you have a responsibility to your family. Just make the oath and cross your fingers and never worry. They say, do you really think that your protest will make any difference? You're just one man. And then one person says to him, look, what you do doesn't matter. All that matters is what you believe. So what if you have to pretend to swear allegiance to Hitler? God cares not about what you do, but just about what you believe. Our passage in James today makes it so clear that this is just not true. What we do cannot be separated from what we believe. What we believe must have an impact on what we do. Faith without works is dead. True, authentic, biblical faith in Christ is faith that works. Did God just tell us of his love for us, but do nothing about it? No. God's love for us is seen in his actions. What did God say to Abraham? I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. How do we know that God loves us? Not just because he says it, though we trust that, but because he did not withhold from us his son, his only son. As we look at all that Christ has done for us, our response cannot be just a theoretical faith, but it must drive us to respond. Do you know, I'm sure there are those of you here who maybe don't come to church very often, or you come to church all the time, but it makes no real difference to how you live the rest of your week. Please don't make the mistake of thinking that faith in Jesus is about this hour in your week or signing up for envelopes and nothing else. Because that isn't real faith. Faith without works is dead. And for those of us who do trust in Christ, we must be asking ourselves the question, in what ways am I putting my faith to work? We have been saved by faith. We have been greatly loved. Do people know that by how we live? James this morning is getting at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Faith changes how we act. It changes how we think. It changes how we trust. And faith without works is dead. True, authentic, biblical faith in Christ is faith that works. Let's pray that God would produce such faith in us and seek to live lives of loving obedience in response. Let's pray together.